on the stations of Coast Community Radio and on demand at coastradio.org, you are listening to Village Square, the monthly program about local issues and the people who deal with them. Welcome to all of you. This week, to talk about the role of probation in the judicial system, my guest is Barry Hazel, a Clatsop County probation officer active in the drug court. Barry, you look very comfortable with your career choice. What made you initially select law enforcement?
One of the main reasons was when I started going to school back in 1990, I went to a community college, and the big thing back then was to pick a career that would still be around for the next 30 or 40 years, and community justice, community corrections, those kind of things. Of course, there's always going to be criminals, and there's always going to be need for people to help those individuals through the system. So that's kind of was my main purpose, just to pick something that would be there.
Was there anything in your background that caused you to go that route?
When I was growing up, we grew up in times. I grew up in Parkland, Washington, which is the Tacoma area, and I had a few brothers that kind of ended up going to juvenile hall at a young age and kind of victimized some neighbors of ours, and I kind of tried to learn from their mistakes and kind of just the role I took on. It's kind of something I always wanted to do.
How did you become a probation officer? What was the path you took?
Back in 1996, I was going to school for law and justice at Central Washington University, and almost to the very end of that process, I had a close family member pass away, and it just really changed my whole world. So what happened was I ended up getting a job at the Regional Justice Center in Washington. It's the King County Courthouse. And then I ended up getting a second job as a juvenile in a juvenile group home. And working both jobs 80 hours a week, saved up enough money, so the plan was to move to the ocean where we used to vacation all the time and to just start a new life. So, of course, by working both those jobs for about a year and a half, we saved up enough money to move down here. I got a pretty good firm understanding of the judicial process working in a courthouse and working in a juvenile group home. And pretty much I think I enjoyed both tremendously, but the group home working with those kids is what really set me in the direction that I am today. I ended up moving down here to Oregon, living in Seaside for about a year, and I immediately got a good job with the Oregon Youth Authority and ended up working there for about 3.5 years when the probation parole job came up. And I was really inspired by my wife, who I'd met down here. She'd been working at Oregon Youth Authority as well, and she basically filled out the application for me and did my resume and pretty much submitted it without my really understanding, because you think you find something you really want to do, and Oregon Youth Authority was a great job. Anyway, so she kind of made me come out of my comfort zone, and I ended up getting the job, and 9 years later, it's been probably the best thing I've ever done.
So what do you think prepared you? What were the benefits of that OYA job that you had before?
Well, even going back to the juvenile group home, I learned boundaries. Boundaries with offenders, huge process that I went through. Made a lot of mistakes at that group home. I was a young 20s. There were some rocky times there, but it prepared me for Oregon Youth Authority, which was basically a kid prison, and it's pretty depressing in there for these kids. They're bad kids. They've been through group homes, they've been through jails. I mean, the last road is Oregon Youth Authority, and I worked on the sex offender unit for 3.5 years, and started facilitating groups and really getting involved and trying to work with just the way they think and the way they cope with things. And it really did have everything to do with my job now. So the only difference is, you know, at Oregon Youth Authority, you're dealing with people, the kids, every day, you know, 40 hours a week, 8 hours a day. With the parole and probation, you basically meet with people, if you know, 4, 5, 6 times a month. So it's, you really have to concentrate your time on each offender and really try to encourage them to change.
So you're beginning to describe a bit your duties, but let me ask you, where does probation fit in the justice system? It's not quite hard corrections like prison, and it's not treatment. So what is its role? What is its place?
Oregon is a state where they're always struggling with money. And, you know, 1989, before 1989, a lot of people went to prison. They had different laws back then. And then the state pretty much ran out of money. And they created a law, a certain thing called sentencing guidelines. And it made the presumptive sentence for a lot of crimes probation, which means most of these crimes, people don't, they will never go to prison in Oregon on these things. I mean, it's kind of depressing. You could have ultimately, you know, 20 possessions of heroin felonies and you'll never go to prison in Oregon. So probation is huge, a huge part of the system. You know, I don't know if people do understand truly how important it is, but it's pretty much all we've got right now to help change or to try to keep the community safe, and then to better these individuals that are having a hard time doing what they're doing.
Can you describe a little bit your interactions with the people you monitor?
Well, I run the drug court program. I've been doing that for a long time. I don't even know when I started, probably 2002, 2001. But we have about 46, 47 people in drug court right now. We've had as much as 54. We've had as low as 12, you know, when it first started. It's a pretty intensive program compared to just regular probation. They're all considered high levels of supervision based on, because we need to see them so much. There's a treatment program, and it's funded by community corrections, and that helps people immediately get into treatment and get an assessment. Of course, we take a lot of UAs, urine analysis tests, and that's the key to the whole program. And of course, they see the judge every Thursday morning. It's Judge Nelson, and they interact with him, and they build quite a good relationship with them, and it really helps them really feel like, hey, there's people that really care about us, and it's not about punishment. It is about people trying to help us relearn some skills that will better ourselves in the community and for our lives in general. So,
what are the outcomes you're looking for, and how would you describe some of the steps that the people you have to deal with missed on their way?
I think ultimately the biggest outcome is, which is monitored by the state and by the courts, is recidivism rates. The goal is to keep people, or get them to understand that, or basically to stop committing crimes. So I think that's the ultimate fundamental purpose of all this. But realistically, that's not. The realistic goal is to help facilitate change in someone's life to where they're not coping by using drugs or alcohol, that they become a productive member of the community, that they are a better mother, a better father, a better brother. And by going through these programs, if they actually internalize these things, they do become better people. You know?
Would you say you almost play a parental role or a teacher role? How would you describe that?
You know, it's really bizarre. I've really gone through that a long time, because when I first started, I was 30, you know, 29 years old, 30 years old, 31. Anyway, everyone that I'd come across was always older than me. And so I always think, geez, you know, what is this man who's 53 thinking of a 29 or 30-year-old or 31-year-old telling him what to do? So it was kind of hard, you know. And of course, I'm 38 now, and a lot of them are my age that I come across. I get a lot of youth, younger ones that are 20, 21, and the older ones. But it doesn't seem to really matter because, yeah, it is a position of authority, and I try to portray myself as professional as possible. But realistically, what I really try to do now, and I've progressed to a level where I really believe that the only way you can help people is have a relationship with those people and a supportive, positive relationship. Of course, there's always going to be holding people accountable and being the bad guy. But if you can do it in a professional and supportive way, then, you know, those relationships go a long way.
Would you say you almost have a life coaching role?
Yeah, you could say that. It's you just try to live right way, and you try to instill that in other people, you know. So yeah, life coach, enforcer. I mean, there's just so many different things you could label it.
You know, there's also stories about you that you're such a fast runner that when people try to avoid you, you can catch them if they try to run.
Yeah, well, I don't give up. So, and luckily a lot of people smoke, and offenders smoke. And not to say that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that they don't take care of themselves, you know. And it doesn't take long before they kind of just give up. So if you... persistence is the key to being a good probation officer, and that's just the way it is.
Patience
as well.
What are some other useful character traits for your profession, you think?
Well, you have to be honest, and you have to have integrity. Integrity is the key. You can't be out in the community doing things that you tell your offenders not to do. And I've tried to really, really do that in my life, become a better person myself so that, you know, I don't look like a hypocrite. It's hard, everyday choices, and everyone goes through bad times. If you can stay positive and get through those hard times without making the poor choices that some of these offenders make, committing crimes, doing drugs, then, gosh, you really have to be proud of yourself that you got through that. Mm-hmm. So,
in the years that you've been in that position, how else do you feel that you've grown as a person, as a human being? Is that a position that cannot help but cause you to grow?
Well, yeah, you have to grow. I mean, first of all, there's just so much to know, so much to learn, just basically about the law. And in Oregon, every couple of years, when they run out of money, they create new laws to help save money. Most recent one was they switched, you know, with the probation revocation, say someone's on probation and they completely flunk out of it and don't care about anything and they abscond, or, you know, you have to get a warrant. These people used to get 180 days in jail. Well, the legislature decided that, hey, 180 days is too long, it costs too much money, let's just say 60 days in jail. So there's constant changes that you have to be aware of. And there's just so much to learn about the job. It forces you have to grow. I mean, you're put in a position every day to have to change, to have to grow, to have to learn new ways of dealing with people, because everyone's different. And you might have 15 different approaches to people. And it took a long time to learn all those. You know, you start off with just a couple when you first become a PO. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole hold them accountable. It's like the robot. Well, you broke this condition. You violated this condition by using heroin. You're going to jail. Well, the great thing about Oregon is there's a lot of different things we can do. to help people or to hold them accountable. And that could be just, you know, it doesn't have to be jail every time, you know. So you kind of have to be creative. You kind of have to keep thinking the same thing doesn't help everyone. You know, there's a lot of different things like pre-sentence investigation reports that we have to write as a probation parole officer, and those are very tedious. You really have to know sentencing guidelines. They always change. I mean, there's just constant change in this profession, and you can't just stand still.
So, but basically, you're learning ways, new ways all the time to help people. That's the prize that you keep your eyes on. It's to help them move along the continuum towards reintegrating society and learning some things that they missed along the way. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. It's quite a process. It's really a wonderful process to see someone change or grow or to become a positive member again and just to be just happy with themselves, to understand that they don't need to use drugs to feel happy, or, boy, why didn't I go to mental health a long time ago and get on antidepressants, or, you know, really digging deep and figuring out why do you make the choices you make. And, you know, a lot of people just stick in ruts, and it's a glorified lifestyle for a long time for people, and it just ruins lives, it ruins families. So,
do you have a favorite success story?
Well, I don't know. There's so many.
What is the trajectory that a success story follows? So, some people come to you and they're drug addicts, and they don't know whether it's coming or going. And so, what do you do?
Well, gosh, the level of success you want in this program is, first, is, boy, we got to get them clean. We got to get them sober. We have to get them to a point where they can function without this learned condition that they've been living with, and that's usually drugs and alcohol. It's drug court. And so, you know, it comes down to the very first UA you take, and if that UA is clean, you realize, hey, he's kind of got it or she's kind of got it, and we can really work with this person. But 50% of the time, they come in positive for the drug of choice that they've been doing, and even though they've been on a pretrial release condition saying they're not supposed to use or do this stuff, they come in like a last hurrah type situation, or they really can't break the cycle. And so you got two kind of different individuals, and that pretty much what happens. You have people that make it all the way through, no problems, or you have people that just struggle and struggle and they don't make it through. Or the real success stories, like you're asking, is people that were struggling, and they end up turning around and getting through. And those are probably the ones. I've got one individual that he's graduated drug court twice. And in between graduating drug court twice, he was on supervision again and got through that supervision. But it's just amazing how they completely change their life and get into support groups and their families, and they get through a program, and all of a sudden, for some reason, they revert back. And then they get on supervision again, and they get through that. And this guy did it three times, and he ended up graduating a third time, and he's still doing well after about 8 months to a year now. It might about a year, and he's helping his little sister get through drug court now. And it seems like as long as they can keep themselves involved with helping others or their support groups, that it tends to really get them through. And I really have a lot of respect for this individual. And it's amazing because throughout this whole process, his girlfriend actually works up at Astoria Point. And this guy, you know, Astoria Police has been chasing him for years, you know, and it's just really wonderful to see him make that positive step for the third time.
So would you say a lot of the clicking when it starts to work happens when the focus moves from one's individual issues to just wanting to make a difference in the family, wanting to make a difference in the community, sort of moving beyond just yourself?
Right. Yeah, that's the key. Drug use, coping mechanisms, those are all selfish choices. And when you can get to a point where you can persuade or you can help teach or help facilitate that change to where they're clean and they can stay sober and stay away from the drugs. And, our treatment program's great because they get them right away. They do an assessment within the first week. The program we have now, Choices, is just, they've been around for a long time, and they're great. There's great people. They've seen it a million times, every different scenario. And, it's just a great support, but, they're pretty confrontive as well, and you need both. It can't be just therapy. Mm-hmm. It has to be
a waking up, a process.
There's got to be confrontation. You have to break through those thinking errors that people have, and we all do it. I do it all the time too. You justify every action that you ever do, whether it's good or bad. And some people justify by using drugs and destroying their families, and not because they planned it, But yeah, you once you can get them clean and sober, then you can really, really, really influence them in a better way. And that is the process, to get them to start thinking about others as well and forming relationships with others to help facilitate that change. And
I know that our listeners are really appreciating the insight that you're giving them into your work. What is it that you would like the community at large to know about your work that you have not touched on yet?
Well, it's kind of tough. If I'm a victim of a crime, and we have a lot of people in drug court that have committed burglaries, thefts. We have a kid that end up getting $13,000 or $14,000 from his mother. I mean, there's victims out there. And whenever you have a victim, it's the worst thing you can go through, being a victim of a crime. So, of course, in Oregon, it feels like when you're a victim and this person gets on probation, it really doesn't feel good. You expect people to go to prison. You expect them to be gone for a while, and they don't. They go to court, they're placed on probation, and their life really doesn't really change immediately. The great thing about drug court is the wake-up call is a lot faster than regular probation. They go see the judge the next Thursday. They realize by just sitting there for 2.5 hours watching people go up in front of Judge Nelson that this is the real deal. You either change or you go to jail. And the sanctions are immediate. So there is some justice out there, in this program. And I want, you just need to let people know that, we are trying to hold these people accountable. And, if they're sitting in prison anyway, they're not going to be able to pay back restitution. They're not going to be able to change. Because ultimately, when people go to prison, they don't come out better, and they can still use drugs there. And realistically, they come out worse, and they immediately commit crimes when they get out. And it really isn't a good response. It doesn't benefit anyone, I believe, unless if they're really bad people, and they need to, and you need to keep the community safe. Well, yeah, that's pretty much what prisons are for. But the whole argument of sending drug addicts to prison, that's a pretty debated issue over the years. And I think drug court is really a good process for these individuals. They have a choice. you know, and it gives them the support of a judge, of a probation officer, of a community, and of a treatment program to say, hey, this is what you need to do. Just trust us. If you trust the program and you make the right choices, you're going to get through it.
So, Barry, what makes you want to get out of bed every day and go to work?
Relationships. Yeah. Relationships is, that's what gets me through. You know, it's not the paperwork. It's not sitting on the computer. It's when people come in the office. And this is something I've always done. If you look at my calendar at work over the last 9 years, I've pretty much never had an appointment scheduled because I ultimately see every person that comes in the office. And if I'm not there, I call them back. But I've realized that the more contact that you have with an individual, the better your relationship's going to be with that person. And, you know, that's it. I mean, that's what your life's all about, ultimately. And that's what I've learned in this job. It's about relationships with people.
Well, Barry, thank you for a really instructive and enlightening conversation this morning. Our guest today was Barry Hazel of Clatsop County Community Corrections. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank to each and every one of you for listening. This is Michel Mifrin signing off. We will see you next month again on the Village Square.